All right, this series on doctrine really is about what do you listen to? Not the choice of music you make, but what do you believe is truth? That's really what this series is about. Where do you get your truth? And so we're doing this series on doctrine, and it's about truth. Earlier this a few weeks ago, Laura and I had a chance to kind of a ministry vacation, kind of, you ever get a leisure trip and a business trip kind of at the same time? We went over to San Francisco and hadn't been down 101 in a long time. And so we were around Frisco and then we drove down 101 a little ways, Highway 1, excuse me, not 101, Highway 1, looking at the coast. And it's been a long time. And those cliffs are pretty steep when you get over there and you're looking down off the side, and kind of drove down there a little ways. And I'm going to tell you, we live in this big, beautiful world. This is an awesome world we live in. I mean, to see the Pacific Ocean and the cliffs, to walk down on the beach and pick up some seashells, and just to enjoy the beauty that God has created. And God has really blessed us. I mean, to step back and realize that the food we eat, the pets we love, the water that we drink, the air we breathe, is all really a gift from God. And that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about creation this morning. I want to talk about who created this world that we live in. And so we're going to look at Genesis. I'm going to ask you, in your worship folder, you'll get an outline. Why don't you pull that out right now? Because we're going to be looking at this and kind of looking at some scriptures and making some statements. And I'm going to challenge you this morning. Most of you have went through school at some point in time at another, right? Most of you have been through a little bit of school, or you're going to school, or you've been involved in school. And they kind of taught you about where this world came from. And if that wasn't enough, the History Channel right now has many episodes on where the world came from. I mean, they just keep flashing across the screen. And so you can watch that and you can get an understanding of where the world came from. I want to challenge that thinking. Now, I'm going to begin by saying this, and as we go through here, I want you to understand, I have no problem with science. Matter of fact, I appreciate science. I appreciate some of the discoveries science has made to make life better, to make life healthier, to solve issues. Science is truly a blessing. I believe God has given some knowledge, skills, and talents in the scientific realm. So I have no problem with science, and we're going to go into this morning, but you need to understand something. I believe in creation. I believe this: God is the creator. I believe God is the one who formed this earth, who created this earth that we walk in, that we live in. It's found in the book of Genesis. Now, Moses is the writer. Now, I don't think, in my understanding of Moses, he lived about 1400 years before Christ, B.C. He wasn't there when it happened, all right? He didn't have and wasn't there to watch God create everything, all right? The only ones there was God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, okay? So the Holy Spirit revealed to Moses the creation story that's found in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. And I'm going to begin right off the bat with verse 1 of Genesis 1:1. Look at what Genesis 1:1 says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I'll give you a little Bible knowledge. You want a little Bible knowledge? The titles of the books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Isaiah, you just go on down the line. Those titles come from the very first word of that book. Whatever that Hebrew word was. So when you look at the title, the Hebrew word, that's how they got their title. Whatever the first word was, that became the title. Genesis literally means in the beginning. That's the Greek, the Hebrew word. I'll give you the word. It's called Reshith. Reshith. That means in the beginning. At some point, at some space, at some time, in one order, God said, begin. That's exactly what the word means. God at some point said, it's time to begin. It's this point in time. It's this point when things start. It's this point when we're going to have things begin to happen. That's exactly what the word means. It means to begin. There's a point. there's a time, there's a space. It all starts right here. In the beginning, God created. There's three great things going on right there in those three words. In the beginning, God created. Who did it? God did it. The Bible's not interested in when it happened. It's not interested in all the details of how it happened, because it's not a scientific book. Remember, I've shared with you as we looked at it last week, the Bible is what I call and what we see as redemptive history. The Bible's a book about how God wants us to have a relationship with Him and how that happens through Jesus Christ. That is exactly what the Bible's about. Whether you start with Genesis through the book of Revelation, it's about a relationship with God. But it all began in the beginning. At some point in time, God stepped forth and said, it's going to begin. God began. He's the one that started everything. In the beginning, God. God. It starts there. Only thing there was God. Then it says He created. Again, another key word. Give you another Hebrew word. Bara. Don't you like that? Bara. Bara means to create. To make out of nothing. All right, that's exactly what the word means. It is very infrequently used in the New Testament, in the Bible. Matter of fact, the only subject is always God. The only one who can create is God. Nobody else can create. Now, we can make things, but only God can create. So what this verse says is real simple. At some point, we don't know when, at some point, indefinite time, at some point, God said, time to begin, and created everything that is from nothing. That's what that says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The words heavens and earth is like saying from top to bottom, from beginning to end, from head to toe. What this verse simply says is, God stepped forward at some point in time, we don't know when, He stepped forward at some point in time and said, time to start. It's beginning now. I'm creating everything from top to bottom. Here it is. And God created out of nothing. The Latin word is really good. It's ex nihilo. You might hear that sometime. Out of nothing. There was nothing. At some point in time, there was nothing. And then God stepped forth and there was everything. Do you see the picture of creation? God created everything. But then we make things. See, there's a different word. It's called a saw. And that's found in verse 7. You go down to verse 7, look at what it says. And God made the expanse and separated the waters under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. See, there's God is sitting there saying He created this. And then later on, He begins to form it. That's what that word make means. He forms. He shapes. He adds things to it and creates something out of what was already created and made something out of it. See, we are ones who make things. I can make all sorts of things. None of them very well, but I can make things. And we can make different kind of things, but we can't create. We have to have something to start with. And God had nothing to start with. So here's the picture that you have to have for creation. Now, hang with me through this because I'm going to put everything in perspective as we go through. So hang with me. So here's the picture. God comes forward. God looks out into the expanse of nothing. There's nothingness. There's an expanse of nothingness. And God says, it's going to begin now. It's going to begin now. And when He said it's going to begin now, He formed everything that is from that expanse of nothing. Out of nothing, everything came into existence. From top to bottom, from head to toe, everything was created by God. He stepped forward and He created everything there was. That's what this first verse says. And then look at verse 2. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. God steps forward. He created this world. Now, I want to make sure you understand, when it says beginning, He didn't have a time. It didn't have anything other than that. It's an indefinite period of time. So here's the picture to have. God stepped forward, created everything, And then comes verse 2. Sometime later, sometime along the way, God decides it's time to step in now and begin to form the earth, to shape the earth so that we can live in this world. That's what it says. And now the earth was formless and empty. It was a wilderness. Here God created everything. He made everything. It was all there, setting before him. Everything that is was there. And then God steps out and begins to form all of that into what we see today. He begins to shape all of that, because that word earth and formless, that the earth was formless and empty, some people take this as chaos. That God created everything out of chaos. That's not what it says. It says God created everything, and then at some point God comes in and begins to take everything and shape it and make it and form it. Do you see the picture here of creation? I think we read the story and we got a preconceived idea. I bet many of you come with a preconceived idea. You might believe in creation, or you might believe in evolution, and it's like, well, this is how it happened. He created, and everything happened in 6 days, and I'm going to kind of go through all of that and give you a picture. But I want to make sure you start out with where the scripture says. God spoke and things happened from the beginning, an indefinite period of time. He made this world from top to bottom, everything that is, he made. And then there was a time when he stepped back in and took what he had made and began to shape it and form it. It wasn't habitable. It was a wilderness. These words, empty and was formless and empty, is the words that you'll find that Israel wandered in the wilderness. It's the same words. It's the same words. It was just this empty space. It was a world, but it wasn't ready for mankind. It wasn't ready for living creatures. It wasn't ready for it to be inhabited. It was an uninhabited area, world. There was nothing there. Now, this is one of the theories of the world. It's how God created the world. This allows for the world to be an old world, like science says it is, and yet for mankind to be, what, 10,000 years? Is that kind of what science says? Man has been around about 10,000 years, but the world is like 10 million years old or something like that. Can you see that in the scriptures? You know, he steps forward and creates everything for an indefinite period of time, and then he steps in and begins to shape that so that we can live and dwell and find a place on this earth for us to live. And so that's the picture that we see in the Genesis account. Then you could go on, and I don't have all those scriptures. You need to go home and read those rest of those scriptures. It talks about day one, he did this, and day two, he did that. And as you read that, you can see him shaping things. You can see him forming things. You see him taking the world that he had spoken into existence in the beginning and began preparing that world for you and I to live, to manage, to care for, to be stewards of. And God created this world, and then he formed it for you and I, and he made it for us. And that's the world we live in. God is the creator. But in order to believe this, you have to have faith. Look at the scripture. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. To believe what I just said, you guys have to have faith. Am I right? I mean, I can't prove any of this to you. I can't prove to you that there was nothing, and now all of a sudden God said, and there was something. I can't prove to you that it was 6 literal days. I can't prove any of that. You have to have faith. But here's what I want you to know, and as we're going to go through this, I want to challenge you, what is your faith in? Because my objective today is to show you and for you to understand that I believe God created this world, big, beautiful world for us to enjoy and appreciate. And it takes faith for me to believe that, but I want to tell you something. I think it takes faith to believe the other side too. And I'm going to look at that. But here I want to begin by giving you 6 views of creation by Christians. Now, each of these are Christian views. Each of these, maybe you believe, maybe you grew up believing one of these. Maybe this was one you thought about. But here's 6 common views that Christians have about how this world came into being. And the first one, as you look at your outline, is called Historic Christianism, Creationism. This is the one I just got done telling you about. I'm going to let you read this for yourself. But basically what it says is that in the beginning, God created. Some time went by. There was a period of time that went by. If we want to take what science says, it could be like 9 million years plus 9,990,000 years. And then man come along 10,000 years ago. See, that's it. That we can take this historic view, say that God created. Between verse 1 and verse 2, there was a time, an indefinite period of time. And then God came back in and began to shape and form this. So we got an old earth and young humanity, just like science says. Took 6 literal days that God created the world in 6 literal days. Because he did the first thing first and 6 days later. Boom, 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 boom. And it's real interesting as you read that people say, well, it wasn't 6 days, the sun and the moon. And they can get into all that confusing thing. But read what it says. It says this. There was morning and there was evening. And that implies to me a day. Yeah. And so there's this historic Christianism. I kind of like this. You know, I kind of like this. But here's another one. This is called Young Earth. Here's this view summarized real quick. You can read that again for yourself. But here's what this view says. God created the earth 10,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, and that's it. I don't care what science says. Doesn't matter what science says. They don't get anything right half the time anyway. This is what it says. That's what it means. That's it. There are many people who believe this. It's just a young earth. Creationism, when science says it's 10 million years old, they've made a mistake. That someday they'll figure out where they went wrong. And there are people who believe this. 6 literal days, just like it says, bang, 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 bang. Science has a problem, not us. That's the young earth idea. There's another theory out there called the gap theory. Again, I'll let you read this for yourself. But here's this theory. Like, kind of like the first one, but here's the difference. That God created everything, formed everything in Genesis 1, and then something went wrong. There was a problem. Maybe Satan and his demons fell from heaven. Something went wrong. There was a tragedy. Everything got messed up. So God comes back in verse 2 and starts all over again. All right? This is called the gap theory, that God created it. Matter of fact, there's 2 creations, and it happened here, and then it happened here. Yeah. I struggle with this one, and yet I can understand, okay, you know, I can live with that if you want to believe that. Yeah. But there's this gap one out there that the world got messed up some way, and that God had to come back in and straighten it all up and recreate everything. The next one is the literary framework. And this one basically, it's poetic. The Genesis story is, yeah, God created, but we really don't know how he did it. This is just a poetic way of saying it. Yeah. And it kind of lines up. Like day 1, it says God separated the water. And then if you look at day 4, it says God did this. And they kind of balance things out and say, this is God poetically was recounting the story. And so they put it this way. Then there's a day-age view. I probably lean a little bit this way. But I like the first one probably better. This view says, a day with the Lord is like the scripture says, 1,000 years. So, day 1 could be 10 million years. And day 2 could be whatever, you know, and so each day has so many times in it, and it's just a picture. And so the day age, it's just, you know, every day, it's not really a 24-hour day, it's whatever years it adds up to be, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And so there's this day age theory out there. And then the last one, theistic evolution. God created, but evolution is right. And God's using evolution to make it happen. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I think this one doesn't add up at all. Yeah. But these are the common six views. These are, you know, the basic six views. One, two, I can, you know, I'm going to take number one. If you ask me, I'm going to go the historic view. Yeah. That God created everything. Some time went by. And then in verse 2, he steps back into history and begins to form us and to shape everything so that he can put mankind on this earth and the animals on this. And so I'm going to kind of, I kind of like that theory. It seems to make sense. It seems to add up and to paint a picture so that I can see what God is up to. But whatever theory it goes to, it's got to come back to this. God created. God is the creator. It has to come back to that point. Look at the scripture. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. When you step outside, Laura was talking. She went camping earlier this week with her family, earlier this month with the family and all of this. And she goes, you're sitting outside and you look into the sky. And she said, you just see the stars. Just thousands, maybe millions of stars. I don't know what you could see up in the mountains. I hadn't been there in a long time. We were really suffering Thursday night. We were sitting in a hot tub at the hotel looking at the sky, watching the fireworks at the state fair. Yeah. So I was really suffering. We couldn't see any stars. And Laura was going, I looked up there and there were these stars. I was gone. We stayed a night. We had a meeting for Thursday night, and then I wanted to see my parents, and Laura needed to take her dad to the doctor. So we stayed a night, and we splurged and had to suffer in a hot tub, suffering for Jesus. Somebody's got to do it. Yeah, might as well be me. But we didn't see any stars. It's just kind of like, you can't see anything. And she was talking about, she's at the mountain, she could see all the stars and the beauty. You step outside, you can't deny. We're driving down Highway 1, and you look at the cliffs, and you look at the ocean. You've got to see the hand of God. It's just undeniable. God is at work. And yet we live in a world that is dominated by science. And we expect, and how many of us expect science to have all the answers? Science is going to have all the answers. They're going to solve all the world's problems. We look at the Gulf right now, the Gulf of Mexico, and you got a blowout well down there, right? You know, here's this oil well just pumping oil, and well, they're going to solve the problem. Why? Science is going to solve the problem. They'll figure out how to plug that well. Science, we think science is going to solve all our problems. Now, again, I want to tell you, I have nothing wrong with science. I appreciate science. I appreciate their discovery. I am really thrilled with the guys who discovered the computer. Those scientist guys, I don't want to say I love them because, you know, I just don't want to say that. But man, I enjoy the computer. I like the guy who discovered the computer. You know? And I am sure glad, I really appreciate the one who discovered the internet. What's that guy that ran for president that discovered the internet? Oh, never mind. We're not going to talk about him. But I mean, I love surfing the net, researching myself. I'm going to tell you some things I discovered on the internet. I have no problem with science. I have no problem with scientists. But when you got these atheistic scientists, I think we have a problem. And I'm going to get into that. And I want you to, you know, because what's so funny is I got on the internet. Anybody ever go to YouTube? Anybody besides me? I went to YouTube and typed in creation, and I typed in evolution, and I get all these things making fun of Christians. You need to know, there's a lot out there making fun. You believe the world was made in 6 days, you idiot. You know, and I mean, I watched some of these YouTube things. I watched the professor. This was that blew my mind. I'm watching a professor. Now, I hear these professors talking about creationists. And this lady, I don't know where she was. One of the persons was from Brown University, and one was from Santa Cruz University College. I mean, they were from all these colleges. And this lady gets up, this professor, I can't remember where she was from, and she's going, You know, facts aren't what's important. Theories are what's important. And I'm going, now wait a minute. I thought you're supposed to take a theory and make it a fact. But she's saying theories are what's important. Facts, she basically said facts are thousands of facts out there. They're not important. What's important is theory. And my understanding of a scientific method is you take a theory and prove the theory to be a fact. And I'm watching her say that, and she's attacking Christians for our belief that God created everything. I'm going, you're whacked too, lady. You know, you think, you can call me whacked. I have no problem. I believe in God. But at least admit you're crazy thinking this. Yeah. Because, see, they have some problems. I made a list here of some things that, how do they answer this question? Here's what I want a scientist to answer for me. How do you take nothing and make everything? All right? How can you take nothing, zip, zilch, nothing? I mean, not a tree, not a stick, not a microorganism, nothing, and make everything. Happened to turn the History Channel on yesterday afternoon. I was canning through it. And here's this guy talking about where water came from. Maybe water came from a meteor that struck the earth. And when that meteor struck the earth, maybe there were some microbes in that meteor that got life started. They're trying to explain where water came from. I got an answer. Yeah. Until a scientist can tell me, until a scientist can tell me where something came from nothing, I don't get it. It doesn't add up. It doesn't work. Yeah. And so for me, it takes faith. You know, it had to start somewhere where the Big Bang, where it caused the Big Bang. Yeah. It just doesn't add up. Here's another thing scientists have to explain for me. How can you take chaos, disorder, and get order? All right. How many ever raise a teenager with a messy room? Anybody ever raise a teenager with a messy room? Now, if you walked into that room and that room was cleaned up, spick and span, and I mean it looked good, you'd think your kid was sick, wouldn't you? Yeah. Because it's not going to happen by itself, is it? That room is not, you're not going to walk into that room and that room's going to be spick, span, everything where it goes. It's not going to happen. Somebody's got to do it. And you're not going to do it, right? I'm not going to do it. How can a scientist say all this chaos and all of a sudden it's all in order? It just doesn't work. I mean, how do you create order out of chaos? Somebody has to do it. Now, I don't know about you, but I can take order and make chaos real quick. But it's hard to do it the other way, and I just don't get it, how they can say that. How does impersonal matter, impersonal stuff, make personal beings with feelings and emotions? How can this impersonal pond scum make people who feel, who love, who have compassion? Are personal. How can something impersonal become personal? I just don't get it. Here's one of the big ones for me. Scientist says the world has been around 10 million years. Mankind has transformed. Matter of fact, I got a picture of mankind transforming. Watch this little video here. My question to a scientist is, for life to do that, where are the fossils? I mean, if it took 10 million years and it took a long time for these transitional stages to happen, Homer's a funny guy anyway, took all these things to happen, where's the fossils? I mean, come on now. It would take millions of fossils, millions of things. How come they can't discover any of them? I mean, you know, and to read, I read science books about evolution. And here, how does a scale, because you know, most of us say, you know, it came from fish with scales. How does a scale transform into a feather? Think about it. A scale, here's what they believe, a scale on a fish, on a snake, on reptiles, somehow, over time, transformed into a feather that's hollow, that can lift a bird and help a bird fly. Show me a fossil. Show me something. I mean, there would have to be something. I mean, where's it at? See, for me, and what I want to make sure we understand today is, and I'm asking you to believe in creation. Pick one of the theories and believe that God created everything. Because no matter which way you go, you have to have faith. You have to have faith that something came from nothing or that God created. You have to have faith that out of chaos, order just all of a sudden appeared, or God did it. You have to have faith that a personal God created personal beings, or that impersonal pond scum became personal beings. To me, all that takes faith. That you have a theory that these things transformed over millions of years, thousands of years, and they transformed into a human being, but I can't find a fossil that shows that. You have to have faith. And here's the problem. I don't have a problem with science, but science has a problem with us. They don't want to believe. I made some notes because I had to write these down. Listen to what these professors, scientists, literary writers, Nobel Prize winners, listen to what this guy says. Here's a Harvard professor. Materialism is absolute, for we cannot allow a divine foot in the door. I thought science was unbiased. I thought science was trying to discover truth, trying to take a theory and make it a fact. And we cannot give divine a foot in the door. Here's a Nobel Prize winner for literature. Listen to what he says. I personally feel that the teaching of modern science is corrosive of religion, and I am all for that. Does that mean, oh man, you're really open to truth and to discovering whether science is right or God is right? You're really open to it. Listen to what, to me, this is the biggest one. Here's philosopher Bertrand Russell, the great philosopher. Listen to what he says. If you do not believe in the doctrine of creation, you likely believe that you came from no one, you are alive on earth for nothing, and that you, when you die, you will go nowhere. Matter of fact, I think I got it up here on the screen. It might be two down, Manda. I think it might be the next one. I like that. If you come, you're from nowhere, you're going no place, you have no reason to be here. One of the scientists, it was real interesting, one of the great atheistic naturalist. You know what he said? Somebody asked him, wouldn't it be so depressing that if this was life, that you came from nowhere, you're going nowhere, and when you die, you go nowhere? Wouldn't that make life depressing? Wouldn't you get depressed? And the guy goes, yeah, that can be depressing, but if that's their problem, not mine. Why does this matter? Why does it matter whether you believe in evolution or creation? It's a matter of faith, okay? I wanted you to see that. It's a matter of faith. Why does it matter? Why does it make a difference? It makes a huge difference. I got a whole long scripture there, and we're going to go through this scripture because I want you to see the difference. And it's going to take some time, but I'm going to go quickly. Let's look at this scripture. It's found in the book of Romans. Look at what it says. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. Do you see what he's sitting here saying? I have revealed myself. I have shown myself. I have made myself visible. Just look into the world. Remember, we talked about general revelation last week. God revealed himself. You can see the hand of God in the world. I made myself known. But they're denying the truth, and because they deny the truth, they become what? They become wicked. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Everybody can see it. Everybody knows it. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave him thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their viewless hearts were darkened. Doesn't that sound like a professor? I'm not going to believe in God. We can do anything you want. We got to attack Christian. We can't let it get a foothold in. We can't let them get started. It's got to be corrosive to religion. We can't have that. Because it came futile to their hearts and darkened. Although they claim to be wise, they become fools and exchange the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal men and birds and animals and reptiles. What do we worship? Ourselves. Us. Therefore, God gave them over to their sinful desires of their hearts. Now, here's what I want you to get a picture of as I read this next part. Listen, God sits there and says, listen, I made myself visible. I've shown myself to the world. I created this world. I formed this world. Now, if you don't believe in me, this is where you're going to end up. That's what it says. That's what we're reading now. And tell me if this isn't where our world is today. Therefore, God gave them over to their sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because this God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. Now, do you get what it's saying? If you don't believe God created, if you don't believe God formed, if you don't believe God put an order in us into this world, what do you get? I'm going to say it, not politically correct. You get homosexuality. You get lesbian. Look at that. Isn't that what it says? Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, men also abandoned natural relationships with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind, to do what ought not to be done. They become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossipers, slanderers, God-haters, insulters, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. I'm going to ask you, when you deny God and you deny God created this world, is this where the world ends up? Is this where our world has ended up? Why does it matter if you believe God created us? Why does it matter if you believe in the beginning God created? Because if you don't believe that, you can do whatever you want. It's okay. Look at how he finishes up. They disobey their parents. Ooh. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteousness decrees that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do their very things, but also approve of those who practice them. It matters what you believe about creation. It makes a difference. The reason our world can act the way our world acts is because they don't believe God created. It doesn't matter. It's not that big of a deal. I want to tell you, it matters what you believe about where this world came from. It makes a difference. I don't care whether you want to believe in creation, you're going to have faith, okay? I'm going to tell you that. You got to have faith. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Top to bottom, God created everything. Or if you're going to believe in evolution, you're going to have faith that things came from nothing, that things came chaos, that out of chaos order came, that in spite of being no fossils, it happened. You got to have faith. Whichever way you go, you got to have faith, but it makes a difference in how you live your life. It makes a difference how you live. We look at our world and we wonder why our world is all messed up. I don't know about you, but I think our world's messed up. The problem is it goes all the way back to, in the beginning, God. It starts there. It matters what you believe. Because see, if you go, if you're going nowhere, you came from nowhere, and you're going to end up nowhere, it doesn't matter what you do. You can live any way you want. But when you have a God who created you, a God who formed you, it makes a difference. That's what I want you to know. Look at these three points real quick. I am created by God. Every one of us. I'm going to tell you, there is nobody here that's an accident. All right? There is nobody here. You just happen to be here accidentally. You're just here. It's not true. We were all created by God. My understanding of God is this. The soul comes from God. And when God breathed into us the breath of life, at the moment of conception, we become living beings. I'm created by God. I came from somewhere. I came from not just somewhere, I came from someone. And not just my mom and dad. I've got a God who created me through my parents. See, I'm created by God. It makes a difference what you believe. The second point, look at this. I have a Savior in God's Son, Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm created by God, but Gary does dumb things. Gary does things that I'm going to call sin, all right? It might not be politically correct, but sin is sin. I do dumb things. I sin. I make mistakes. I say things. I act ways. I have attitude issues. Yeah. And I need God to make a difference in my life. I have a Savior in Jesus Christ. God said He created us. We messed it all up. And God says, I'm going to make it right. Here's the line. All you got to do is accept Jesus Christ. You know what I say week in and week out? It's real simple. God, I'm tired of doing things my way because I haven't done too well my way. I don't know about you, but when I was 17, I wasn't doing too well Gary's way. All right? I wasn't that bad, but I wasn't where I needed to be. And at 17, I made a decision. I want to start doing things God's way. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come to my life and take control. I got a line to cross, and that's the Savior Jesus Christ. He's the one that transforms my life. And when I do that, look at the last one. I have a purpose in life. I am going somewhere. I'm just not from no one going nowhere. I am going somewhere. I have a purpose in life. I'm going to tell you, that is one of the greatest things for me to have. I've shared with you, my brother committed suicide. And one of the reasons I think people commit suicide is they have no purpose. There's no purpose anymore. There's no reason anymore. It's just, there's a purpose in life. When you know God, there's a purpose in life. I'm going somewhere. And I'm excited about going. I'm enjoying the ride. I'm enjoying the journey, not just looking forward to the end. See, I have a purpose. See, that's what creation tells me. See, it matters what you believe about creation. It matters what you believe God is up to and God is doing, because it matters to you personally. That creation story is about you personally. And so I'm going to challenge you, what do you believe? Look at this last scripture. You are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. God, you created and you sustain it. You're taking care of it. See, God's going to take care. God's still involved in the world. God created it and He's managing it. We're stewards of it, but He is the ultimate manager of this world. It's His. And we're good stewards. See, it matters what you believe. So at the bottom of your page, I put it this way. I believe in God. It's that simple. I believe in God. And when I believe in God, I know where the world came from. What do you believe? It makes a difference. Now, you know, I don't know what science is going to come up with next. It's amazing to me to to read science and to hear them talk. And I have no problem. I appreciate science. But I love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, and all my might. And I love my neighbors as myself. That's what life's about. When you know who God is, and God is the Creator, you can love Him and love others. Because you're all made by God and created by Him. Go home and read that verse over Romans again, that chapter, and just see. It makes a difference. I'm going to ask you, what do you believe today? You're sitting here, and I've rambled on about creation. I worried about these sermons being boring. Because this is to me, this is boring stuff. It's fun to work with, but it's boring. But I'm going to ask you, what do you believe in? Do you believe in the beginning God created? And if so, has it made a difference in your life? I told you I was 17 when I made a decision. My decision wasn't, hey, I finally had discovered God, because I always discovered God. I always knew who God was. It wasn't a discovery about God. It wasn't a light bulb that came on and says, hey, there's a God. I always believed there was a God. That was never a question in my mind. But at 17, I had to make a decision. Do I believe in that God enough to give Him my life? Because God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them Yours. Who made you? Who formed you? What do you believe? Let's pray.